Welcome to this lecture on the principle of the path in Proverbs. For a significant portion of my ministry here at Faith Church, I oversaw our college ministry at Purdue University. I often found that the book of Proverbs was greatly helpful in ministering to students and to young people in general. You know, that's not surprising since the book, largely based upon the Proverbs of Solomon, was written to young men to teach them wisdom. Listen to just a few of these verses, and you're going to get to the purpose here. These verses are all taken from Proverbs chapter 1 through 8. That's the introduction to the collection of wisdom sayings in Proverbs 10 through 30. So Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, listen to these first three words. Hear, my son, your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Notice that mother's teaching. We're going to see that in a little bit at the end of Proverbs as well. Proverbs 2, verse 1. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, ... So chapter 2 starts with my son. Chapter 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. Hear, O son, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 1. My son, give attention to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 1. My son, if you have become surety for your neighbor, having given a pledge for your stranger. So it goes on to talk about wisdom there. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 1. My son, keep my words and treasure my commandments within you. You know, all of those chapters started with my son, my son, my son. Hear your parents. Hear the words of your mother. Cherish these instructions. I think we get the picture, right? Solomon is wanting the youth, and particularly his sons, to gain wisdom. And this is ultimately in the context of a monarchy, Israel's theocratic kingdom, passing on a kingdom to the future sons in a dynasty type of setting, with the hope that their sons would reign in wisdom. Solomon also captures his intention by wanting his sons to fall in love with a particular lady. You know the struggle with young men, don't you? The sensual pleasures and the alluring ladies out there. And Solomon does want his sons to fall in love with a lady, but this is a very particular lady. You know who it is, don't you? It's Lady Wisdom. You know, wisdom in Proverbs is personified as a lady that will be the ultimate companion if the son would love and embrace her as a lover. If you find Lady Wisdom as a wife, then you would be blessed. In contrast, also, Solomon is warning the sons not to fall in love with another lady, Lady Folly, that is. And if you fall in love with this lady, she's ultimately going to destroy you. So, Proverbs chapter 1 through 9 is this series of many sermonettes, and we're going to see that as we survey some of this in just a moment. Proverbs 1 through 9, the series of many sermonettes that highlights the contrast between Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly. And then we have the structure of Proverbs moving on from chapters 10 through 30, a collection of instructive wisdom sayings, and contrasted with foolish activities, the wise man and the foolish man. And finally, at the end of Proverbs, so Proverbs 1 through 9, this introduction with sermonettes, chapters 10 through 30, a collection of wisdom saying, and then at the end, Proverbs chapter 31, the epilogue. And you know what's described in Proverbs 31, don't you? What do we have there? We have the excellent wife, the lady of virtue, or can I say the lady of wisdom fleshed out right there. So fascinatingly enough, by the time the reader works his way through or her way through Proverbs, starting with the youth, hear my son, hear my son, hear my son, and going through the wisdom collections, Solomon exhorting his sons, the young people, to fall in love with Lady Wisdom. By the time that we get to the end at Proverbs 31, you know, we no longer have a son, but we have a king, actually. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 1, the words of King Lemuel. And notice what it says, the oracle which his mother taught him. And apparently, something like this happened. Maybe this man, King Lemuel, listened to the voice of his mother, encouraging him to fall in love with Lady Wisdom. And now he's able to articulate what the excellent wife is all about. That would be a Lady of Wisdom as well. So there is somewhat, if you haven't noticed it before, and those recently in the biblical theology movement and those focused on literary structures in the Bible have noticed this possible structure in the book of Proverbs. So not only, though, was Solomon beginning to couch wisdom in terms of a personified Lady of Wisdom and a personified Lady of Folly, but he also gave a very, very instructive metaphor along the way that captures wisdom as well. And that is in regard to a path that we actually walk. Andy Stanley, in his brief, easy-to-read book here, The Principle of the Path, brought this helpful metaphor to my attention. It was many years ago when I was overseeing the college ministry. I read that book. And in addition to speaking to young men about falling in love with Lady Wisdom, I found that this metaphor given in Proverbs, fleshed out practically by Andy Stanley in that book, it seems to capture the imagination of college students. And when my children were younger, it captured the imagination of my children as well. The metaphor is very, very easy to understand. At an early age, I taught it to my children at their early age, and I suppose when I was younger as well. The metaphor was something that we all can relate to, and you're going to see that in a little bit. The metaphor was a concept that we actually intuitively and instinctively know. We know this because it's so obvious. The metaphor corresponds precisely to reality. We simply cannot deny its truth. And the first mention of this is actually not in Proverbs, actually. The first mention behind the metaphor is actually in Genesis chapter 3. Hang on to that, and I hope insert that a little bit later in our time together. So when I grasp this metaphor in a more full way, I started teaching it to college students. I mean, it was a regular staple in my curriculum with my college students and also with my college counselees when I would begin to talk to young men about some of their struggles. I've talked to it, as I mentioned, talked about it with my children. I talked about it with men who seem to be on, well, walking the paths of destruction. And I've also talked to you about it and incorporated it into when I teach on parenting, and I'm going to illustrate that as well. So it's a very, very practical principle. It's easy to teach, and you can walk outside your house and illustrate it very clearly, and you'll see that also in just a moment. So even though I instinctively teach this now because I'm familiar with it, the original wording of several of the points in this lecture actually come from Andy Stanley's book, The Principle of the Path. So I would encourage you to purchase that book. But along with every book that we here at Faith Resources and Faith Biblical Counseling Ministries may recommend in one of our training sessions, please remember that none of these books are the Bible. So there would be some elements in every book that I have read beside the Bible that I would disagree with in any book, and that's included in this one as well. So always, always, always read discerningly the books that are not inspired. So if you will now, please turn to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 through 19. And I'm going to illustrate here something for you. I want you to notice the term path in Proverbs. Now, I haven't developed the metaphor for you yet, okay, but I want you to notice how pervasive this is in Proverbs. You're going to see it the first occurrence in Proverbs here in chapter 1. So in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, "Hear, my son,